Good morning. Welcome to GCF Church. We are in the middle of a series, Come Let Us Adore Him. And it's funny how much we sing and we don't know what we're saying, doesn't it? Miss Irene's my favorite. I grew up in a home that we believed in Santa Claus, right? And it's funny, for a period of time, that was exciting. And when you become a parent, you have to decide, do you continue the charade, right? We're not going to talk about that. Do whatever you want to do. I think it's great. But it's funny because when you start to realize the effort and the energy, whether you're talking about big jolly Saint Nick or little mystical elves around the room, right? It takes time, creativity, money, collaboration. I mean, you're talking about an extensive game plan for a fictitious creature to get all the credit, right? That's what I'm worried. I'm like, we're going to spend all this money and someone else is going to get the credit for this? No, we ain't doing that. No. Dad and mom gave you that. That's what you need to know, right? But it was interesting, the story of Christmas is that there are characters that don't get a lot of the credit, but they do most of the work, you know? And when I was studying the Christmas story again, like we do every year, we're looking at maybe a character that doesn't get a lot of press. Some of you who are familiar with the story will say, oh yeah, I recognize that name. Others, maybe not. They're not a real headliner. It's not Mary. It's not Joseph. It's not the shepherds. You know, they're at the nativity. We're going to look at a guy and a girl who maybe don't get a lot of press, but behind the scenes is a character that's doing a lot of work. That's the Holy Spirit. And so what I've entitled this morning is Partnering with the Holy Spirit. And my hope is that the more we become aware of this character in the Nativity, the more aware we will be to partner with him, and the more adoration we will give to the one this season's about, and really after this season. I mean, we know that Christmas, most of the time, is a lot of disappointment, right? You finish it, and you look back, and you're like, man, that's it. Right? 2 days later, the toy's broken. Right? I've lost interest. I still remember the greatest gift I ever received from my parents was this remote control hover craft thing. It was awesome. Like, when I think about all the gifts I ever received, that's the one that stands out because it was expensive. I knew my parents sacrificed to get it for me. But what, I mean, 6 times I probably used that thing, right? Maybe 10. I don't even, and it broke. And it's typically, but there is a gift in this season that lasts not just all year, but throughout eternity. And so I want us to begin to pull this out this morning and help us not just enjoy the season, but to partner with God and see what he might be doing in human history. So let's pray as we get started. Father, help us this morning to adore you, to engage with you in this season, Lord. See what you might do in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 38. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advancing in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. So let's be clear this morning. We are a Christian church. We believe in the Trinity, that God is Father, God is Son, God is Holy Spirit. And though we know that this season, and it should be all about Jesus, that God became man in Christ Jesus, that he emptied himself, Philippians 2 says, and he lived among us, became obedient even to the point of death on a cross. But I believe in the mystery of who God is, that at the same time Jesus was in a manger, he was still upholding all things by the word of his power. And yet, the human Jesus had very little to do with much of the nativity, right? He didn't appear to the angels, or to the shepherds, the angels did. Here, Simeon is. Jesus had nothing to do with that. He was being carried into the temple. But the Holy Spirit was preparing. He was behind the scenes. He was setting up Mary and Joseph to help them through the journey. And I want to give light to the Holy Spirit. I want us to look to the Holy Spirit this morning so that we can better adore Christ. And so I want to talk about 4 points this morning from this passage I think that's going to help us this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit partners with people. The Holy Spirit partners with people. The passage starts, and there was a man. And then later in verse 36, there was a woman, there was a prophetess. The Holy Spirit wants to use people for his purposes. What I love about this particular passage is these are old people. Right? This is a man that once he sees Jesus, says, take me home, Lord. You told me I'd see him, and then I go. It's time to go. That's what the man says. And the prophetess, many theologians wrestle, she was 84 or she was 103 to 106. They're not quite sure, but she was old. And here the Holy Spirit is partnering with these individuals for his purpose and his glory. The Holy Spirit would fall on a pre-born child in this story, John the Baptist, in the belly of his wife is Elizabeth, walking. It says that when Jesus comes in, the Holy Spirit fell on John the Baptist and he leapt in the womb. So we're talking, I don't care how young you are, you're not that young. Maybe some in this room, maybe there's somebody in this room, but you're in the womb all the way up to 84. He is falling on people. There's nobody in this story, and there's no one in this church or on this earth exempt from the possibility that God might use you. Here he is, God partners by his Spirit with people. You might be a teenager in here this morning, and God chose someone like you to carry himself. Mary was probably 13, 14, if that. Joseph was a young man, maybe in his 20s, probably in his teens. See, God partners with individuals by his Spirit, a diverse group of individuals, pre-born, teenagers, men in the fields, and others in the final third calling of their life. at the end of their life, God's using, and God wants to use people. It says here that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now we know theologically that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come on individuals at different points in time for different reasons, but he would depart, and he would come, and he would depart. But in Jesus, when Jesus would raise from the dead, proving he was the Son of God, the Bible says that when he was on the cross, he said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And as he said that, there was a veil that separated the presence of God from all humanity, and that veil was rent from top to bottom, releasing the Spirit of God available to all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that you are those who believe in Jesus, that what he did for you was paid the penalty of your sin. If you believe that, the Bible says you're born again. That process where you get changed from the inside out is a product of the Holy Spirit. He does that. 1 Corinthians 6 says that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, that he lives inside of you. And that God wants to partner with us by the Holy Spirit. In fact, speaking of gifts this morning, Acts 2, Peter says that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That he's living inside of you. So just as the Spirit came on Simeon, the Bible says that when you are born again, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. God does that by his Spirit. You house, if you believe, the very presence of God inside of you. I'm going to just let that sink in. If you are a believer and have been changed and believe in the gospel, God by his Spirit lives inside of you. This is what Jesus said of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." See, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you and then come back, and leave you and then come back. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever in this New Testament context. The veil is rent, and God's Spirit lives inside of you. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him." You don't see the Spirit. "But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit partners with people. It's amazing what God could have done by himself. But in every one of these stories we look in the Nativity, God is stepping down into earth to recruit people to be a part of what he's doing. He's recruiting Mary. He's recruiting Zechariah. Sometimes he's commanding. He's not even asking. Right? "You will bear a child." Okay. Right? And he's recruiting. He's saying, "Hey, be a part of what I'm doing. Come into the story I'm telling." The Spirit partners with people. Second thing we see here is that the Spirit speaks to people. Look at this. "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." The Holy Spirit speaks to people. Now, to some of us, we get excited about that. Oh, praise God. God speaks to me. Now, others of us are terrified by that. And I think I am both. Because that is great power, right? The Holy Spirit speaks to people. Now, you might be in sittings where God has spoken to you, and so you can say amen. And others of you have been in maybe even religious circles where somebody has had the Lord speak to them and done very destructive things. That's possible. But let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater and realize that God clearly throughout the Bible, throughout the Scriptures, throughout the Old Testament and the New, right up into the end of the pages of Scripture, God speaks to people. He speaks to people. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Don't be ignorant of these things." We don't serve mute idols. We serve a God who speaks. Now, we have to caveat that, right? Because some of us are weird. We've decided that we hear God's voice and only we hear God's voice. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit speaks to people. Primarily, we understand this, that God speaks to us through His Word. In fact, we cultivate sensitivity to the voice of God by getting in the Scriptures and hearing what God has already said. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You want to hear the voice of God? Read your Bible. Hear His voice. Hear His heart. He will never speak anything to you individually that He has not affirmed and confirmed in the Word, nor will He ever contradict that. He won't just not contradict what it says. He won't contradict His heart in the Scriptures. But do we know it? God speaks to people. Now we know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we see in part and we know in part and we prophesy in part. So that I am a man and I have sinful motivations and selfish leanings and that sometimes I hear things that aren't God and I think they are. And so that's why I have to run to Scripture. I have to run to community. I have to run to those who mentor me and say, I feel like maybe this might be the Lord. What do you think? Because I don't see everything clearly. I walk circumspectly. In fact, that's what Simeon, this description of who he is means. It says he is devout and righteous. That word literally means he walks circumspect. He doesn't think he has all the answers. He's open to those around him. God speaks. The fact, the word, the name Simeon means to hear or listen. Isn't that amazing? Many times I feel like God is speaking, I believe this, but we're not listening. There's a radio wave going out that we're not in tune to. It's always there, but we're not listening to it. And so Simeon was listening. His word means to hear. His name means to hear, to listen. And he was listening, and God was speaking. Francis Chan, in his book, Forgotten God, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says one of the reasons we don't hear God is we got too much noise. Something's always in our ear. Something's always playing. We're always listening to everything but God. He says, man, if we would tone down the noise sometimes, pull away, we might hear God speaking to us. Now again, I think the majority of the time that means opening your Scriptures and listening to what God has already said and Him speaking those to your heart. But it's not limited to that. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. Listen to the verbiage here, speaking of the Spirit. He will speak and He will declare. The Holy Spirit will declare things to you. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me. We will talk about that. For He will take what is Mine and declare it, there it is again, to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to people. Kaylin, could you come up and share? I just want to give a couple examples of this. I'm just going to call random people. No, I've talked to them. do we have that microphone? There it is. Kaylin just got back from Egypt, okay, on a mission trip. I wanted her to share because she was saying that the Lord had been speaking to her before she even went.
Yeah. He didn't tell me when I was coming up, so that was a shock. But, yeah, so, wow. So I'll just kind of give you a brief preview before and then when I went. So probably like 5 years ago, I shared a story with a couple people. God was speaking to me about Egypt, and He actually was speaking directly to me, like, in my quiet time. And I kind of just put it on the shelf because the opportunity didn't come up. And actually, last year, I was at a conference with CMDA, and I was actually walking through kind of like, we had like 200 organizations there. So I was like walking through, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me to go speak directly to this organization. So I went to talk to them, and they're like, yeah, we need an actual extra nurse practitioner, and that's what I do, to come with us to Egypt. And as soon as they said that, like, literally, like, flooding back was the memories of 5 years ago that I had completely forgot about. So I was like, whoa. So I didn't know I actually would actually go, but God worked it out. So I got off work and everything. And last week, I was in Egypt for a week. And when I was there, we partnered with the missionaries there. But one of the things they told us is that it's a closed nation, so it's illegal to share the gospel actually out and about. So their method of sharing the gospel was through medical missions. And so they told us that they had probably seen a salvation once, like probably like once a year, barely one person a year. But we went, and before I left, we actually prayed. So a group of people here prayed, and they heard that God said that power was going to come on this trip. So I told my group members that we go to the first clinic, and literally we see people getting healed. We see salvations happening every single day, multiple salvations happening every single day. And the crazy thing about it is that obviously Egypt is a closed nation. It's considered a part of the Middle East. But, like, when we were there, every single person wanted us to pray for them. Like, every single person. So we would ask them, like, can we pray for you in Jesus' name? Because we were seeing Muslims. We were seeing Coptic Christians there, which is like Orthodox Christians in Egypt. And every single person said yes. So every single person, well, that came through where I was at, everyone said yes, but every single person, like, was open to the gospel, heard the gospel through prayer, and responded. So, yeah, so literally, like, God will partner. So I just want to share, if you want to go on missions, like, if God's speaking to you, don't be afraid, because he will show up, he will partner with you, he will use you in a mighty way. So.
Awesome. Thank you. Isn't that good? Look at this. Now, this isn't, Kaylin's not in the ministry. She's got a job. She's a nurse, right? So God doesn't partner with ministers. He partners with people. Partners with people. And he speaks to us. Isn't that cool? Now, can you imagine? I don't think the Lord wants me to go share the gospel. That must not be the Lord. God will speak his heart, what he's already doing. Is this line with Scripture? Yeah, you should share the gospel to people in other nations. Yes, that's the Lord, you know. So he will confirm it. Next thing we see here at number three is that the Holy Spirit leads people into his story. Now, God had spoken to Simeon by the Holy Spirit, you're going to see the Christ. But that day, he's going about his duties, and the Bible says, in the Spirit, he goes into the temple. Like, oh, should go into the temple today. I just feel it. And so as he's walking to the temple, he sees Jesus, and the witness of the Holy Spirit said, there he is. He goes over, he picks him up, and begins to adore God because of his son Jesus. Now, this is similar to speaking to us, but it seems like it's a little bit more spontaneous, right? That God has spoken to our hearts, but he's leading us in that moment. We see this not just with Simeon, but throughout the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit leading and guiding Paul. In fact, Paul would be going one place to preach the gospel, and the Spirit would say, no, you can't do that. You got to go over here. He would lead him as he went. He would lead him. Right? Y'all have heard that saying, it's hard to steer a parked car, but as you move, the Spirit will lead you. Romans says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I remember this story about Beth Moore years ago talking about, she was in an airport and she saw a man with long hair, and she heard the Holy Spirit go tell her, she's like, yes, Lord, I'll go share the gospel with that man. He looks like he needs Jesus. He said, I don't want you to share the gospel with him. I want you to comb his hair. Y'all got to go look up this story. You'll weep. I promise you, you'll weep. But just the Holy Spirit, as she combs this man's hair, she said, preach the gospel to him. It's amazing. Just exactly how this man needed to hear. He was disabled. It was a pretty powerful story. I was in I think I shared this a few months ago, but I was on the Greenway running. I run with my dog, and there was a student walking to class, and I'd pray that morning, Lord, send someone to me today who needs your help. As I'm running, I pass this young man walking to class, and I hear the Lord say, stop and pray for this guy. And I do like what any man would do. I say, no. So that's really weird, God. I don't do stuff like that, you know. I'm running with my dog. I don't know that person. I'm going to class. You know, I'm running. I'm like, got to get my time up, you know. I got to get, oh, I'm almost there. You know, I can't stop. And then I kept going, and the stronger it got, you better stop. So I got about 100 yards now. It's really weird, right? So I'm 100 yards away. Now I got to stop, turn around, walk back to the guy like, you know, what are you doing? I pray for him. I said, hey, just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. He's like, okay, real tentative. I pray for him. I think a day or two later, I'm running the same area on the Greenway, and I see him come out of the neighborhood chasing me down. Hey, you that guy that prayed for me? I'm like, yeah. And he said, man, that's exactly what I needed. God ministered to him in that moment. But I was being led by the Spirit in that moment. There's the Spirit leads people into his story. Now, yesterday, 2 days ago, I'm on the airport. I'm coming back into RDU, and I see this gentleman. He's probably, I think he was a coach of a college basketball team, from his apparel was my guess. And I just felt God say, man, you need to pray for him. You know what? I didn't do it. He led me, and I said no. He was crying, and I just said, oh, my brother needs some time alone, you know. He didn't need some weird guy coming up to him, but yet I knew. So I don't get this right every time. Sometimes I hit it out of the park. Other times I strike out. But we're all growing in our sensitivity to the Spirit. I want Kevin to come up and share. Kevin and I are in a life group together, and he had a moment where he was led by the Spirit. There it is, Kevin.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kevin. I just want to honor, is it Reverb? Blake has invited me to come to a care group with him with Wednesday mornings at Panera Bread at 6 o'clock, or it's actually 6:30. He said, Kevin, we meet real early in the morning. That way people can go before they go to work. And I was like, Blake, I'm at work at 6. So I started working on Sundays 4 hours so I can have time to go to the Bible study, and it's been a real blessing to me hearing Blake share and the other brothers in the Christ that come. Ron's there, and he blesses me every day I see him. And so Blake was out on his regional conference on Wednesday, and he called me up and asked me to lead the men's group. I was like, kind of blown away. I was like, okay. And he said, don't worry, I'll give you all the materials, and he did. And anyway, we're talking about manhood, developing our physical body and our inner man. And at the end, we prayed for Tammy, her healing, to be continually in prayer for her, for the men in the Bible study, and for the growth of the church. So as I was leaving, I felt like I'd pray for the men in our care group, that God would give us divine appointments through the week, that he would open doors and opportunities for us to minister or share to someone the gospel. And I didn't think any more about it, and that same day, I went and had to go talk to some ladies that, after when I checked the work of the employees that work for me, we approve it, and then the other ladies in another department, they send it to the customer, the reports. So I went and was going to tell them to be on the lookout. These two reports, the customer's looking for them today. They be sure you, when they come, you go ahead and process them. The lady I was going to talk to was out that day. So I went to, there's two other ladies that do the same kind of job, and talked to them. And she said, well, as long as it comes today, I can do it, but if it comes tomorrow, I won't be here. And I was like, okay, well, you taking vacation tomorrow? She said, no, I'm actually hurting very bad. My sciatic nerve is acting up, and I'm in severe pain. So I said, well, there's the open door. And I said, thank you, Lord. I said, has anybody prayed for you? She said, no. She said, I would love for somebody to pray for me. I was like, can I pray for you? She said, yes. Well, it's four people sitting there, and they can hear you talking, and usually when somebody goes in there, everybody listens to what you're saying. But So anyway, I just believe God that that was a divine appointment. And I just prayed in the name of Jesus. I thanked God that he loved her, that he sent his son Jesus to this earth to die for. He provided for our health and healing through his stripes that he bore on his back. And I prayed. He said, you lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. He said, these things and greater that I've done, so shall you do if you believe in me. And he said, when you pray, have faith and believe that what you ask, you will receive. And I remember the scripture about John the Baptist. He said, among those born among women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. And you think about it, he's born from the womb, his whole life, filled with the Spirit of God. But Jesus said, he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. I'm like, how in the world? John the Baptist was not forgiven of sins. John the Baptist was not purchased by the blood of Jesus. John the Baptist didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. John the Baptist had a relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is the triune part of God. But anyway, what I'm saying is God will use you if you make yourself available. I prayed for the girl, and I didn't ask her if she got healed. I didn't ask her if she felt any different. I just believed in faith God would do what he said he would do in his word. And I turned around with full confidence that he was going to do it. I walked away, and as I walked away, the lady sitting next to her said, I would, you know, I was so blessed to see that happen at work.
Thank you, Kevin. Isn't that awesome? Kevin, you're not in the ministry, are you? No? He's a chemist. Because God partners with people. That brings us right into our last point. The Holy Spirit sparks adoration in others, doesn't he? Holy Spirit sparks adoration in others. See, the Spirit is about glorifying Jesus. Look at all that the Spirit would do just so Jesus would get the glory. Man, he'd speak to Simeon in his quiet time. He'd lead Simeon into the temple that day at that moment. He would cause Anna to be there at the same time so she could see it and so that she would prophesy. And it says that she was an evangelist. She went, Jesus, he's the one. Jesus, he's the one. Because God parts with, the Holy Spirit partners with people to bring adoration to Jesus. And see, that's a good litmus test. That's a good barometer. Is this the Holy Spirit? Will Jesus get the glory? Because it's about him. Mary and Joseph would wonder at these words. In fact, there would be a time, probably 30 years from now, that Mary would remember the words of Simeon and think, he knew I would be here. He knew I would be pierced to the heart as I watched my son die. Do you think she gave glory remembering that? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit sparks adoration in others. As we join and partner with the Holy Spirit, he will cause others to give glory to Jesus. He'll cause some random student to run down the greenway after some crazed man with a dog and give glory to God. He'll cause coworkers to be blessed just because they saw it. Nothing happened to that lady. She just saw the Holy Spirit on someone else. I'm blessed by that. Give glory to God. In this season that is all about Jesus, let us not forget to pull away and to listen, to be a Simeon, to be a hearer, a listener. Because the Holy Spirit wants to partner with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. What if we looked at, let us adore him, not as an invitation from a human to engage in the Christmas season and adore Jesus, but what if we looked at let us adore him as an invitation from God himself, the Holy Spirit, hey, let us, man, me and you, let's go adore Jesus. man, I've been working on this gift for him, and I want you to be a part of it. Let's go bless the Son of God. See, let us hear God speaking to you today. Come on. Let us adore him. Let us adore him. God in the Spirit coming down on us so that we might adore the Son of God. We're entering into the dance of the Trinity, right? As the Holy Spirit comes on you and I, speaks to us so that we might adore Jesus. Jesus is blessed and he pours out his Spirit. And there's this dance that goes on. Let us adore him. Not just this morning, but this season. Because God, the Holy Spirit, partners with people. He speaks to us. He leads us into his story, which causes more adoration for the God's Son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that you're good, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't just have a story to tell, but you continually invite us into that story. Lord, I pray that every one of us today would be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so that we might join with the Holy Spirit to be a part of the story you're telling, not 2,000 years ago, but the story you're telling right now. Help us to be bold and strong, no matter our calling, no matter what sphere we're in, that we're not above or below the Holy Spirit partnering with us. And Lord, I pray that we could be a part of the recipe that catalyzes adoration all over the city, in our extended families. We would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.